John chapter 8. The message today is God's covenant with an idolater beyond the river. Let me read you from three passages. One in the New Testament and two from the Old Testament. John 8, verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Our father is Abraham. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. And now, look at verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. The Jews therefore said unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. And they took up stones, therefore, to cast at him. And now, Joshua chapter 24. Verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt of old time, beyond the river, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac, and Isaac he gives Jacob. And now, Genesis 12. Let me read you the first 8 verses. Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee will I curse. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the oak of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the things that thou dost tell us about the men and women of the Bible that you consider important enough to have recorded. Our God, thou dost know that some we would look down upon because we have not read all that you've told us about him, and some we would look up to too great a degree, our God, because we have not read all that thou hast told us about them. And so we are thankful that your word has given us all the truth that we know to make a correct judgment, and therefore from the one of whom we've read this morning, Abraham, we pray, our God, that we shall understand fairly and truthfully about him. Let us know all the important things that have to do with him, that have a bearing upon our lives. And so let us grasp them, our God, and see what things that pertain to Abraham pertain to us. We thank you for the blessings of the past week, and we look to thee for good this day. Bless thy children, feed thy lambs and sheep, let the truth of the word of God go forth. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are so many lies told about men and women in the Bible. God tells us the truth about them. Recently, I was studying about the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is the way that God's Word describes her. And then I read of all the magnificent things that men had written about her, and they were all lies. And this morning, we're going to consider God's servant, Abraham, and the truth concerning Abraham. And this is what would be so embarrassing to all of those Jews that boasted in this way. We have Abraham to our father. Joshua had informed them at the beginning when he was leading them to the promised land. He told them this. He said, your fathers served idols beyond the river. Terah and his children, Abraham and Nahor. And so this morning, we are considering the covenant that God made with an idolater from beyond the river. And God tells us that one of them was Abraham. How remarkable. He shows us that just as all of us who have been saved by the grace of God, he was lifted out of the dust. He was lifted from the miry clay, and he was exalted by the grace of God. That there was nothing in Abraham that was inherently good, that was inherently different from Terah, his father, from his brothers Nahor and Haran. They were idolaters, and Abraham was an idolater. But God, in his goodness, reached down and pointed to Abraham and said, I'm going to work through you. Thank God for such a thing. Now, it was different when I told you about Noah last week. Noah was in the midst of a corrupt, a wicked generation. And it said that Noah was perfect in his generations. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And so God tells us that he looked at Noah and chose him and his family to be delivered through the flood because of his behavior that he had beheld for so many years. It said that Enoch walked with God, and that also Noah walked with God. But such a thing is never spoken about Abraham from the first. Abraham, with his fathers, was an idolater, and he was called from Ur of the Chaldees. Now, this is a remarkable thing. How is it that men who are worshiping idols should suddenly receive a call from God so incomprehensible and so compelling, and that this man should obey in due process of time this command given him by God? But he did. Here is an idolater in the land of Mesopotamia, in Ur of the Chaldees, and the call of God came to him, and it said this, and I want you to remember it. He said, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Now listen carefully. And he said, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And in verse 7, he says, "I'm going to give you all this land that you're looking on." Now, those verses are of the greatest importance, and I've memorized them for this reason. You'll find throughout the Bible, beginning in Genesis 12, and going throughout the Old and the New Testament, constant references to Abraham and the covenant that God made with Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham. And because of that, if you want to comprehend this covenant, all you have to do is to memorize the 8 things that I've told you that are found in the first 7 verses of Genesis chapter 12. For this reason, whenever you find anything else spoken to Abraham concerning this covenant, it will be identical with all the things that I've told you twice now that are found in Genesis 12. The only difference is this. At times, he expands. At times, there are ramifications. At times, there are additional truths revealed. But all of them cluster around these basic promises to Abraham when God called him from Ur of the Chaldees. And if you see that, you will understand how God does not at the first reveal everything to Abraham, but he speaks to Abraham in an introductory way. And then gradually he goes on and on. And as Abraham develops spiritually, he gives him additional truths. And then finally, after so many years, he formally ratifies a covenant with Abraham. He's called, we're told, in Genesis chapter 12. But in chapter 12, 13, 14, no covenant, no mention of a covenant. Simply a promise that he made to Abraham, and at that time, and please remember, let me tell you about an anachronism. His name is Abram, and in chapter 17 it's changed to Abraham. But in the New Testament, since we know his name is Abraham, it mentions Abraham being called by God. That's called an anachronism. Things that we know that we did not know at the time. And so God made a covenant with Abraham, and it was not made until Genesis chapter 15. Now there are 2 things that God does with Abraham concerning this covenant, and they're only done after certain things occur in Abraham's life. And the first is this. Abraham is an unjustified man when God calls him, and he is not justified according to what God has told us in Genesis chapter 15 until God tells him to lift up his eyes and look at the stars. He said, "Now number them if you are able." He said, "So shall thy seed be." And it says that Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. And now, God is not speaking to an unjustified idolater who came from beyond the river, but he is speaking to a man who has heard the promise of God, who has embraced this promise of God, and God has reckoned this faith, this belief of Abraham, unto him for righteousness. And now, God is making a covenant with a justified man. You say, yes. Now, something else of the greatest importance occurs in chapter 15. This covenant having been made, the animals having been divided, and God has passed through these animals, this is the basis of the covenant. In chapter 17, there is the sign of the covenant, and that is circumcision. And Abram, when he is 99 years old, is circumcised, and then he is told, whenever your children are born, all the sons are to be circumcised the eighth day. And therefore, Abraham and all associated with him were circumcised, and they bore in their bodies the sign of the covenant. And so the covenant is given in chapter 15, and the sign of the covenant is imparted to their bodies in chapter 17. And then, only then, does God allow Abraham to have a son named Isaac, not in his uncircumcision, but in his circumcision. A justified, circumcised man. And then God says, now I'm going to give you a son, Isaac. And this is what is so remarkable, that after the grand occurrences and promises of God, Abraham falls and again repeats the folly when he said in a half-truth that Sarah is my sister. He said it when he went to Egypt, and now he's going to say it again. This is a sad thing, but showing us that God has a man whom he has led so far, and you think that his progress is constant, he is going onward, but then there is retrogression. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But having justified Abraham, then in chapter 18, God comes and he tells him what he is about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see Abraham in a way that we've never seen him before. We find in chapter 12 that he builds an altar and he calls upon the name of the Lord. But now in chapter 18, when he hears that God is going to destroy Sodom, he knows that his nephew Lot is there. And so he starts interceding with God. And he is successful to the number of 10, but they're not even 10 righteous ones in Sodom. And so God destroys Sodom. And then in chapter 19, we find what God does to Lot. He saves him as some of you may be saved. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 2 that Lot was a righteous man. Who would know such a thing? But when Lot is visited by the angels, he has to be dragged out of the city of Sodom. And his wife cannot depart from Sodom in her heart. And she turns around and looks upon it, and she's turned into a pillar of salt. And finally, Lot is dragged out. And God tells us that this was a righteous man. But look at him. He was saved so as by fire. All the substance that he had was gone. And he was a wealthy man. And everything that he had put his hope in Sodom and all its surroundings, all of it was now fire and brimstone. And it may be very well that some of you are righteous. God only knows. Who would know if you went to the gate of Sodom and saw Lot sitting there with those wicked sinners conversing with them? Once in a while, he would say things to them, tell them things that would help them spiritually, which they utterly rejected. his sayings, his God, and they rejected him, but Lot is there. But God in his grace sent angels, and they literally had to take Lot and drag him and his family out of Sodom. And Lot was saved so as by fire. And it says that some of God's children are going to be saved so as by fire. And so God would have us to examine our lives and see what we're building. Wood, hay, stubble, that's what some of us as Christians are building for God. And so you examine your heart. Because you are a righteous man, because you have been justified, it does not mean that you're going to have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. It may mean that you are carried in by the skin of your teeth. You are saved so as by fire. That was the case with Lot. And what is so sad is this, that after Abraham has shown such promise in interceding for Lot, then in chapter 20, he sins again against Abimelech by telling the same half-truth again about his wife, Sarah. Who could imagine such a thing? You who think you stand, take heed lest you fall. But finally, in chapter 21, we have the promised birth of Isaac. And both had laughed. And only God can tell what is behind a laugh that takes place in your heart. When God told Abraham that he was going to have a son, it said that Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and he said, how can a man my age with a wife like mine have a child? And so he did some interpreting. He said, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. God said, we're not dealing with Ishmael. There's going to come a child, a son out of you. And with Sarah, and he laughed. And then in chapter 17, where God is talking to him, in chapter 18, where God is talking to him, in these chapters, the remarkable thing is this, that Sarah, in chapter 18, is preparing food in the tent for them, and she hears in the conversation that she is going to have a child next time. Next year, she's going to have a child, and she laughs in her heart, and she says, shall I have a child, my husband being old, and it's past the time of life for me? And so she laughed in her heart, and God and the angels heard her. And he said, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did laugh. He said, nothing is impossible with God. And then the next time you hear about Sarah, the remarkable thing is this. She has a son in her arms, and she is laughing, and they call his name Isaac. And so these are some of the things that happen. These are all things that are involved in the covenant that God made with Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means father of a multitude. And Sarai means, no one knows exactly what it means. At times, it is disputatious. It is one, it's uncomplimentary, but they are not sure. But when she's called Sarah, it means that she is a princess. And God changed their names. At times, some people change their names because they do not like their names. But it's good when God changes your name. And God changed Abraham's name to Abraham, and Sarai's name to Sarah. And so, what is your name? Why, my name is Abraham. Who called you Abraham? God did. And my name is Sarah. Who gave you that name? God did. That is a good thing when God changes your name. He changed Jacob's name to Israel. It is a good thing when something happens in your life and God changes your name. Or, do you have the same old name because nothing of significance has taken place in your life since you trusted Christ as your Savior? How sad. But in the case of Abraham and Sarah now, they are promised children and they are given new names. And here is what is so discouraging. We are told in chapter 12 that Abram is 75 years old. And so finally, when he is 85 years old, he has waited that long, and no child has been born. In chapter 16, Sarai gives him a suggestion. It may be that what God is talking about is you're going into my handmaid Hagar and having a child by her. And so it's Sarah's suggestion. And so Ishmael is brought forth. And then she understands that all has been a mistake. It's not that way at all. And let me tell you what is so sad, what is so disappointing. You'll find that Ishmael is born when Abraham is 86 years old. And not one word is spoken by God to Abraham that's recorded. Nothing. For 13 years. A 13-year blank in the life of Abraham. How sad. And so this is what happens when we think of our own schemes, how we're going to bring to pass the promises of the covenant of God. And when those things transpire, other things come into our lives. And it takes us years and years to recover. That's why it's so good that Enoch walked with God and Noah walked with God. And God says to Abram, you walk before me and be thou perfect. And so here is God observing Abraham. And he's not always walking before him and being perfect. But what happens is that one mistake occurs, another mistake occurs. He tells half-truths not once but twice, but God is still working with him. And I can understand the weakness of Abraham for this reason. If you're 75 and your wife is 65, who is thinking about having children? And finally, when your wife is 90 years old and you are 100 years old, it's out of the question. But God made him wait that long because someone would say, well, now, this is a medical record. Here is a woman at this age having a child. But when a woman becomes 90 years of age, because now we are not back in Genesis chapter 5, when a woman 90 years of age has a child, that is a miraculous thing. And this is what God wants him to know. So, for this reason, I told you that the promises that God has made to Abram in chapter 12, they are repeated, they are embellished, they are defined, they go on and on until the end of Abraham's life in Genesis chapter 25. And then we see in a fuller way what is involved in this covenant that God has made with Abraham. And here is what you find. You will find that as he makes an advance, one of these eight things that I've told you about will be spoken of in an additional way, and an additional truth is given. This is what he said. He said, if you get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house, I will make of thee a great nation. The next time he says to him, he says, your offspring, your seed will be as the dust of the earth. And then in chapter 17, in chapter 15, when he's talking with Abram, he says, look at the stars in the heaven. He said, your offspring, your seed shall be as the stars of the heaven. You see what has happened? At first, I will make of you a great nation. That's all he says. But then that great nation shall be as the dust of the earth. And then farther along, he says, your offspring, your seed shall be as the stars of heaven. Search out all the things that I've told you in chapter 12 and see how God will add to them. He will embellish them. He will expound them as you go along. And the greatest blessing of Abraham is this, and I rejoice in it. And all that God has told Abraham that he's going to do for him, he empowers Abraham to do something for somebody else. He says this, I will bless you, he said, and you shall be a blessing. Now tell me, all of you who say, I've been blessed of God, I'm saved. involved in that is, have you been a blessing to anybody else? Whom else have you told of that wonderful Savior that you have? Whom else have you brought to worship God in spirit and in truth? What blessing have you been to others since God has been a blessing to you? It says in John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus said, if any man come unto me and drink, he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, I understand Christ coming from heaven and rivers of living water flowing out of him, but we are included as well. And so, what source of life, water, refreshment, have they come out of you? God has indwelt you with the Holy Spirit of God if you're saved. The Holy Spirit has been given. And now out of you can come rivers of living water. And I'm wondering if even a trickle has emanated from your body and a blessing to others. That is the greatest blessing to Abraham. That God has not pointed out Abraham to be blessed as an end in himself, but God has blessed Abraham that he in turn might be a blessing to others. Listen, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Well, that's fine. So here I am. I'm the father of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob has his 12 sons. And these comprise the nation of Israel. But he says this, and in thee shall all the nations, the families of the earth, be blessed. And so here is Abraham, who is going to be blessed himself with the nation of Israel. And he says, also in thee shall all the families, the nations of the earth, be blessed. This is the promise that God has made to Abraham. Here is what I see. That at no time does God come to a man and make a covenant with him as an end in itself. But that covenant is to overflow. It is to reach out and include others. And this is what God intended from the first. And this is what is so sad. That these Jews who had all of these promises, it says, unto them are the covenants. You and I as Gentiles at that time, we were separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, and we were without hope and without God in the world. That's the way we were. And in Acts, until the apostles are dispersed by persecution, nobody is talking to the Gentiles. And finally, in chapter 11, we understand that a Gentile group is saved. But God never intended Israel to be blessed as an end in itself. But in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And thank God, finally, through God's means, God has seemed to have that message sent forth. And that blessing includes us. So listen, you see how each time the promise is made, and then when he speaks to Abraham again, it is ramified, you have it expanded, you have details, and you have glorious things spoken. And this, do you realize that some of the things that I read you about, and I did not read you all, if I read you everything that is found that God says concerning Abraham in the Old Testament, you do not know the secret things that went on in the heart of Abraham? Do you realize that in life God made certain communications to Abraham? Do you realize that in death, when Abraham is in the presence of God, God has made communications to Abraham? Why? It says in John chapter 8, and the Son of God is the authority. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. God had promised him a seed. And Abraham knew that that seed was going to be Christ. He said, and Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. What does it mean? It means that when these angelic beings came to earth when Christ was born, and they saw, and the shepherds saw, it says that Abraham in heaven was informed, and he saw that promised seed, which was Christ, which was promised to him. It said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see that day, and he saw it and was glad. And so there are secret things that God communicated to Abraham of which you and I know nothing. And so many are they that if you come back tonight, I will tell you more about them, because the time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that in your grace, as with Abraham, you are a friend of publicans and sinners, those who have their own gods, perhaps not wood and stone, but our own gods, the god of covetousness, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all of our gods. But you can still come to us, Lord, and you can speak to us, and you can cause us to part from those things that are enslaving us. And so as Abraham obeyed God and went forth, so may all who are sinners hear our God. Hear that call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let them, Father, turn from their sins and come to Christ. And as you blessed Abraham, you will bless them. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.